Right now, we are going to switch our focus to the women's national team. And joining us now is former Matilda Joanne Peters. Joanne, thank you for coming on the show.
You're very welcome, Lou. Thanks for having me. And Athos, great to be here, guys. Mm-hmm.
There's so much to discuss from the Matildas' two matches against France and England, a loss and a lucky draw. How do you assess both games and where do you think we're at?
Well, it's a good question because we can assess ourselves where we're at because we just played the number 3 and 4 in the world. So I keep getting mixed up. It's England at 3, France at 4. But the thing is, they're where our semi-final place is, stands between us and them, or even a final in a World Cup. So 8 months out from a World Cup, it's a perfect opportunity to assess where we're at realistically. Now, we had our stars out, but still, it was an opportunity to test ourselves tactically in a game situation against the best team in the world. Unfortunately, we fell quite short, and it's revealed a lot of issues that we've got, but we hopefully, 8 months out from the World Cup, we can rectify them and still get to a semi-final or World Cup final. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Joe, it's Athos here, and it certainly would be awesome. And playing against the world's best was a good test. Did you see a noticeable improvement between the France game, where the Matildas were quite humbled, to the England game, where the Matildas were able to get themselves back in it?
It's a great question, Athos, because I don't think we did. And that was a concern. The concern from the France game, Mackenzie Arnold had an interview, bless her, you know, and it was a great experience for her to be in the sticks in the two top games, even though she probably would have been disappointed with letting a couple of goals in. But anyway, what she said was that we as a nation, on that night, we couldn't solve the problem. And we had another look at the video to actually assess where we could improve, and that next time we'll be ready. The thing is about football, what is it? It's about actually solving problems in the game. And we weren't able to do that. So then there was an opportunity to do that in the English game, to reset and go, okay, these are the problems we've got. What if a front three plays against us? What if they play central, their three? Because that's what they did. That's what France did. They're the same pockets that the English exposed as well. So there were similarities across both games that I felt that we actually couldn't adapt to. And that is a concern for me on a tactical level and on a coaching level.
And Joey, the Matildas head coach, Alan Stajic, tweaked the formation because we didn't have some of our main faces in the team. We saw Catley moving into a position that she wouldn't normally play. We saw Caitlin Ford moving into a position she wouldn't normally play. Did you find that there was a little bit of disharmony in defence?
Look, he didn't. I'm not sure what you mean by tweak the formation, because he actually played the same way. There was a couple of changes he made, and usually our six drops in. So Emily Van Egmond, when she's playing, is beautiful at dropping in between the centre-backs to pick up the ball. And KK did that in the France game, and actually they all tried to rotate in the France game. All the midfielders tried to go deep. In the second game, what I saw tactically change was that they didn't want the six to drop deep very often. They wanted more of the midfielders to be ahead of the ball, try and break that first line of defence, if that all makes sense.
Does that make sense?
You guys with me?
Yep.
So with that tactic, that was the only tactical change. In terms of moving personnel, that's also a big issue. So we've got Steph Catley now. He's saying that Steph Catley can play centre-back, she can play left-back, and we've got Caitlin Ford can play either backs, wings, and they're her position. So he's actually wanting girls to play two positions so that he can cover for any issues such as injury, which is another concern, how many injuries we've got. So anyway, he's trying to cover and make the squad as versatile and as deep as possible. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter who you've got in those positions, because you need to build chemistry with the players around you. I played with Heather Garriock for 10 years. We both played on the left. I played left midfield, she played left back. We interchanged. That's the chemistry I'm talking about. And these players need to get that.
You made some comments after the game on SBS saying that Stadge wants his best players out on the pitch and doesn't really care where they go. Can you just touch on this a little bit more? And again, is it more having team chemistry or your best players starting?
Well, you do both, because you want your best players out in the field, right? You want your best players out in the field, but that means you actually have to then adapt how you want to play the game. So my problem is you're putting different players out there expecting different chemistry, or expect to make that chemistry with the players next to you, whilst also playing exactly the same way that we play. It's not actually giving freedom for the players. So, is that on the right track?
Yeah, that's well on the right track. And Joe, just quickly, the Matildas, a lot of the players came out and said that it's been quite a difficult schedule for them, having many of them come from the MLS. But is this more an issue of tactics as opposed to maybe fatigue?
It's both, mate. And again, there's questions now, if we really want to get deep into it, there's questions now about our four-year cycle. So you have a four-year cycle that you should plan towards. So Sajic's had a bit over he's had 5 years since coming on board for the last Asian Cup. So you would actually be able to plan out your four-year cycle. So all the things that they've had, the Asian Cup, Tournament of Nations, Algarve Cup, Westfield W League, overseas commitments, still with a few friendlies in there as well. Is there anything I've missed?
No, I think you've covered it all.
So all with all that, he knew that was happening. And now when there's a chance to play the top three and four in the world, he's resting players. Why? That doesn't add up to me. You would have in your four-year schedule, this is when I want players to peak. And that's basic conditioning. So I'm actually confused as to why we had those players out in the first place resting now. Are the French resting? Are the English resting? No, they're just tweaking. They're starting to tweak now. We're 8 months out from a World Cup. You want to be buzzing.
And on the back of, you know, Sam Kerr, Lydia Williams, Alana Kennedy, Emily Van Egmond and Katrina Gorry, as you touch on, who are all rested, it gave opportunity...
Okay, come. Yeah, keep going.
It gave opportunity for some of the young players to step in. And in the match against England, we saw more than, I think it was 3 2000s start. Amy Sayer, Princess Abini and Ellie Carpenter, the former two making their starting debuts for the Matildas. How do you view the inclusion of the young faces?
Look, I want to make two points here. The first point is there is absolutely no question of the talent that is out there on the field, and actually they could be playing for us at the World Cup, okay? That's how good these kids are. But my next point is from an off-the-pitch perspective, which this is what I'm passionate about, because it's more than just about sports people. It's about the person. And that's why I'm involved in kids, coaching kids and grassroots in sport now, because we don't understand, and I've lived through it, and I know, and I've seen plenty of others go through it, including right now with the Matildas, that it's a grueling professional sport, okay? Being a sportswoman, we do not get the money that the men do. So Daniel Arzani is 18, and he deserves to be out there. He's a few years older than 15, because when we're talking 15, we're talking still kids, right? We're talking kids. There's a big difference between a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old in life, or is there not? Like, just normal teenagers. I've got a lot of them at home. Okay, so this starts getting serious about kids' welfare. And tell me to calm down, guys, if I need to, but we're talking about childhood prodigy here. I've done a lot of research in kids' development around the world. The Tiger Woodses, the Serena Williams sisters, they did not have a childhood. And unfortunately, I see the same thing with Mary Fowler. She's out there on the field. She's probably absolutely loving it, and I hope she absolutely is loving every second of it. But I'm not sure, as adults, we are doing the right thing by a 15-year-old, because there is no doubt she's going to be the best player in the world following Sam Kerr. But are we going to protect her so that she doesn't end up like Sam Kerr in a way now, who's getting injured, and all our other stars, like Alana Kennedy having to have ankle operations on her break, Steph Catley having to play on one leg. These are the issues that are coming up now in women's sport, and that's why I want to raise them. And I want the sport to get better, because we need to look after girls as girls first rather than footballers first. So there's a lot in that, guys. I don't know if you want to go further.
No, it's certainly a valid point, and it's remarkable that at 15 she's competing at the highest level possible. And it's easy for people externally to say that she's going to have an incredible 20-year career, but we can obviously see the significant toll it has on the players out there. So what would you suggest is the best way to integrate Mary into that fold at that high level? Should we wait
It will never happen though, mate, because the ideal would be that she just plays games. Take her over to France and let her, or maybe even not take her over to France. Let her play in the friendlies. No, take her to France. If we think she's good enough to play in the World Cup, take her to France. Let her play for the Matildas. Let her play for the W League. But I'm telling you, it's all the training that goes with it. It's all the pressure that we know nothing about, that someone like Sam Kerr knows a bit about. These girls now are entering unknown territory. They've got to play for club. They've got to play for two clubs and country. And they've got a hell of a schedule on their shoulders. So if Mary Fowler can handle that, then, yeah, I'm hoping she comes through unscathed these years. Because the other thing about being 15, that's when your body is growing the most, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it. So you want to hound a growing body. That's what we don't understand now in professional sport, or what we're doing now. This is why I'm concerned about this culture, and I've been saying it for a long time. Leave the kids alone. We know how good they are. It's not the question. But do we realise what they're going to have to go through? And I don't want to see them go through operation after operation like these other girls are. And I want to see them succeed, because the other thing now, we've got a team of golden generation, we're calling. And after those two performances against France and England, are we going to be able to resurrect and beat them in time to secure a semi-final berth? Because that's what we're aiming for. And that's what we should at least get with this generation. We showed great signs of moving and beating the best in the world. We didn't come up against European teams before. I'd like to see us play Germany next. And then we can say that we might be able to get a semi-final, but I'm real concerned at the moment with all these injuries and all these issues coming out.
Joey, do you think Alan Stajic will approach the games against Chile in the same way he did against France and England?
Well, I hope not. After maybe a few of us have had a conversation and put out there that we need to be more versatile, because I'm telling you, Chile, it will be great to have them out here, another South American up-and-coming nation. You know, it's fantastic, but the reality is, and it's also important that the Matildas have home games. So I don't care who you play. Matildas need to have home games. It's fantastic that we've got these games coming up. I'm going to be, hopefully calling the games again on SBS. Just loving seeing the Matildas play. And then there's no doubt they'll be successful with this style of play, with probably some of their stars back. There's no doubt that they'll have a great night out against Chile. But my thing is, are we going to be tested enough to then him actually have to say we need to vary? We need to vary our playing style. We can't always have the six drop in. We might need to tweak. Well, again, I don't think we don't have that potential, do we, to move to a back three? It took Ange how long to move from a back four to a back three?
Yeah, it was a real evolution.
The French did it. The French did it overnight. This French woman did. So why aren't we adapting so flexible as well?
So do you think we should move to a back three?
We should be able to. If he wants to put the players out that he wants to put out, put them in a better formation. Put Ellie Carpenter as a wing back, not as a full back where she's got too many defensive opportunities, responsibilities.
Yeah.
Get her further up the park. If you have a back three behind her, rather than at the moment, both of our full backs are bombing on, so we've only got two left. If she bombs on and Caitlin Ford, we want to bomb on, but we can't, so you might need to put another one in there. And then you can maybe even fit more of your best players on the pitch, that whoever you want to put out there. But that's my thing. You work with the players you've got. He had a completely different team and played the exact same way, didn't he?
Yeah.
it gets really interesting, all these tactical things, and that's what I'm loving about women's football. It's evolving. We're getting into the tactics, you know, and that's our strength as women's footballers, because we don't have the testosterone. We actually have to be tactically more now, and you can say technically as well, we're improving, but they go together. And we have to be intelligent. And this is what we're seeing in the next level of European female coaches coming through. Diakra, if you pronounce it right, she was unbelievable. Next level.
Yeah, and Joey, you raised some very good points. We'll leave it there tonight, but thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome, guys. Thanks for listening in. Let's continue the discussion on Twitter or something.
We will. We'll look forward to having you on the program again soon.
Thanks so much, guys.